Today is the 23rd of November in the year 2021. From the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, this is PJ. I love black people, especially when I gather around the people that gather around with me, when we try to come in contact with God. Very special times, very special moments when that happened. And I'd like to start playing this particular number right now. And it's a number sung by Beverly Crawford. And it's called Nothing Shall Separate Me. This is an ism that is more than just an ism. It is a categorical imperative if you're going to be a member of the Christian church. And you have to keep that facade up. Now I want you to listen to this number, and then I'll be back to talk about it and to present something that will prove to you that many of the leaders that these individuals in these churches are following are lying their tails off. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You've been in rooms and sung that. Got up and cried and lied, testified, testified. Because the minute that we don't get what we think we deserve, we forget the words of the song and how it went. Who shall be able to separate you? Listen to what I'm going to tell you today, and you will know. And that's a, you know, it's a pretty interesting video on YouTube. Beverly Crawford. I wonder if that's the same Beverly Bam Crawford that I used to come against so many years ago on the radio from Inglewood. She had a church right around the block from where I was pastoring. And, oh, my gosh. I heard that I was giving fits over the radio when she first started to pastor. And a lot of these folk, man, wait a minute, you know, who shall be? I want to talk a little bit about greed, extortion, and other forms of vice that has taken over in the church. That's one of the main reasons that I don't put confidence in Christianity, because of that. And I got to talk to you about it, because it is important to do that. Very important. So the purpose of my discussion today is to set the record straight. Many people that are in the church of, they say, the Lord Jesus Christ, look at the leaders and judge by their activities the validity of the whole of the Christian message. In other words, you look at the Christian leader and then you say, oh, well, this is what God is about. This is what religion is all about. No, 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 no. What is our subject matter? Greed. All right. And greedy people. Now, this is unfair in that the Bible that I have been reading all of my mature adult life has warned us concerning those individuals that set themselves up as leaders of people, but by their actions they deny the very nature of God working in the lives of men and women, because I am here to tell you that God is never concerned about how much money you have in the bank, or should I say, what you have to keep you floating. Now, I'm going to be quoting some scriptures here, reading it to you, because I think that you need to hear it. Some of you are driving in your car, some of you on the bus, on the streetcar and whatnot. And so I'm going to start off in the Old Testament. And it says in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, you know, and look, I'm saying this because a lot of my critics, and they're still criticizing me. They don't think that I have a heart for God. I have a great heart for God, but I do not have a heart for religiosity and hypocrisy in the church today. Now, I know that COVID is breaking a little bit, but like a friend told me over the phone today, don't get your hopes up, because this thing can open up and take out another couple of 100,000 people. We don't know what it is. But there's something that I, except for looking at people like Oldstein in Texas and that big basketball stadium down there, got it fixed up like whatever. I don't want to just pick on one person. But he got rich with the game. We can talk about a lot of the black ministers that got rich in the game. And I know I'm going to lose some of you as my friends, but you have to understand, I know what I'm talking about. I know it. Some of you weren't even around when Fred Price first got started with that Word Faith shenanigans that he started because he was listening to one of his leaders, Kenneth Hagin, Papa Hagin, Freddie used to call him. Papa's dead. Freddie's dead. There's another one that died in a plane crash with his wife. And he wasn't a preacher, really. He was a person that spoke about how you can speak financial success in your life. Oh, man, he had a couple $100,000 that he'd be packing in. But they have all run the course. Now, here we are on the tail end of the first year and a half of COVID. Hundreds of our people dead, dying. We need money like, I'd like a bowl of fried rice. But in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1, it says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord." Now, why do you think God said this? He said, "Woe." In other words, it's going to be whack out time to a preacher that got all your money. You've given all your money into that. And where did it lead you? Now, please don't say to me, even if you don't know me. When I was a pastor, my wife worked, and half the time I was in ministry, I was working. They gave me a stipend. They gave, you know, because hell of a Bible study. I mean, I'm going to give a Bible study and just keep on doing that. I'm not going to slack off when it comes to giving the word of God. But God would, nor could he ever affirm individuals like the shepherds that Jeremiah is talking about some hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And these were people of the Hebrew nation. And, you know, I believe that African-American people are closer to the Hebrew tribes than any other nationality. The melanin runs deep and thick in the scriptures. And although our colonizers placed Christianity on our necks as a yoke, I'm telling you that the Bible never once ever tells you and I that we owe God a tenth of anything. So let's just wipe that out. You can attend a church and never put a dollar in the basket. That wouldn't be fair, especially if you're being blessed by the man of God who is telling you the truth of God, having you to walk in the way of God, and to get you to understand that everybody that says that they are God's servants are not. God would never do that. A strong and vibrant church is one where not only the scriptures reign supreme, but rather people look closely at the lives of those that they say represent the mind of God in the matter of church polity. That's very important. And I want you to keep it within its context, as you listen to me, it is within this mindset of an investigator that I approach this subject matter. And I hope that you will attempt to analyze along with me what, or if you may be a part of allowing the scripture and the man of God to bring about the end of greed. Because that's why I'm doing this. The end of greed and extortion and other forms of vice within the church. You need your money. You need it now. And when I'm impressed by a ministry, I'm going to bless that ministry because I was at a ministry, and after we had our little Thanksgiving luncheon out there, I was leaving, going to my car, and they had free luncheons all sealed and wrapped up out there in front of where we met, and was giving good, fresh food away to the people that needed it instead of throwing it out. And and nicely done. All right? Now, where does this idea of greed and extortion come from in the first place? I think that's a very good question to start with, because it didn't just start by me thinking about it. It came from somewhere. And I think that the Bible is very, very plain when it talks about it, where it comes from. So if you are a person that says that you believe in the same God that I believe in, and even though we have been colonized by Christianity, everything in that Bible, the way it's taught by some of these people, is not adequate. As a matter of fact, these people are lying to you. They have been lying for years. Those of you that are in your 20s and 30s and you haven't been around long enough, in 1967 is when I joined the church. And I never had them give me an anniversary, invite churches in to collect money. If I bought me a Lexus, which I did, I paid for it with my own money, not with church funds. But go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Look at what these verses says. They are darkened in their understanding, talking about these false shepherds, these fake preachers. There is no such thing as word faith. Word faith is a doctrine that teaches, well, if you name it and claim it, it is yours. No, I don't believe it works like that. But let me read verses 18 and 19. And if you're at home, you can grab your tablet or something and just, you know, read it along with me. See if I'm exegeting it correctly here. Who are they talking about? The writer is saying to the Christians in the first century, he says, you are not to walk as people that don't believe in Jehovah God is supposed to walk. He said, you're not to follow them. He called them Gentiles or darkened people and stuff like that. Well, I believe that greed and extortion doesn't come from the mind of God. It comes from a twisted mind. Now, look what it says. Follow along. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. And verse 19 says, they have become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of uncleanness. So it appears that God, and all of us have been like that. You know, have you ever gone to Vegas? I remember my wife and I used to go to Vegas, and when I was a young pastor, I went to Vegas for the first time, and Lucy said, well, are you going to put some money in this thing right here? I said, no, you can if you want to. She said, why not, honey? I said, because I worked too damn hard to get this money, and I'm not going to give it to some sorry idiot that puts a chance machine up here. I said, I'm not after money like that. If I'm going to get some money, I'm going to work for it, I'm going to earn it, and I'm not going to embarrass myself. Now, you know, when you look at some of the Greek words in these verses, I just read Ephesians 4, 18 and 19, but in the Greek, asalgia, or wantonness in the King James. That's what the King James Version says, that they are into wantonness. You know what that is? It is seen as a heinous sin, such as covetousness, adultery, lewdness, and darkness. I mean, when you're greedy for money and you use schemes and lies to get money out of people, I'm just going to tell the truth. There is no need today for anybody to buy a church building for anything. Because if you get too thick in there and get to do it, I had a He wasn't a dear friend of mine, but he was a pastor friend that I knew. He died during the COVID. And he pastored a Pentecostal church, Peace Apostolic. Okay? I knew him. He and I used to drop off our children at a bus stop when they were being bused to Mar Vista Elementary School on the west side. And we used to have theological discussions. And we disagreed because I was from more of a Baptist background and he was from an apostolic background. And he told me, he said, John, you got to depend upon the Holy Spirit to do what he got to do. I said, well, this is true. You told me correct, Howard, but the Holy Spirit is not going to do anything that is contrary to his mind. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God. In Christianity, if you know anything about your faith or your religion, Christianity says that, and while you're listening to me, why don't you turn to, as I am, to Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Why don't you go there with me? Because that's going to be our next scripture that we're going to look at. Mark chapter 7 and verse 22 will be our next verse that we're going to look at and see a little bit further about this greed in the church. Now, it is also defined as shameless greediness, bestial pleasure. In other words, it's not just the wanting of somebody else's money that's not theirs and using a false pretense to get there. If you look at the African church today, oh, my God. Oh, my God. All you have to do is just look at what some of these, and I got to point them out, Nigerian pastors are telling those Africans to do. And you know what? It all started in these crazy, mixed up, uneducated, backwards, masking individuals. Wait a minute. I remember, all right, I'm going to give you an example. I remember when R. Kelly came out with I Believe I Can Fly. What a beautiful record, isn't it? A record that talked about hope and anticipation and what, you know, believing in yourself and you, well, I didn't have a problem with him making that record, but I had a problem with them singing that in the church because I was saying, now, wait a minute. If they're singing this song in the church, has God said that you could fly? Let me give you a good example of what I'm saying, because I'm gonna, and I know this is difficult for many African American people to listen to me, because you, like myself, I've been beguiled by evangelical Christianity, just like you. The number one reason that I say that I was beguiled by the evangelicals is because under the last presidency of Donald Trump, and when all the racial things started, people going in black churches, shooting people down and everything, I didn't hear the evangelical pastors condemning this kind of behavior. I didn't hear any of that. Why not? Now, look at what Mark chapter 7, verse 22 says. It says, coveting, wickedness, deceit, that is, licentiousness. That means the license to do whatever you want to do without anyone confronting you. Envy, slander, pride, foolishness. Yes. Look at verse 21, just a verse above that. It says, for from within, out of the heart of man, comes evil thoughts. Fornication, who I'm going to rape and seduce, theft, murder, and adultery. If you're married to one person, you really need to be with that one person that you're with. Unless it's an open kind of a thing where you, as adult people, are doing that. But that always brings about problems. You know, I try to tell my friends that, you know, they ask me, they say, well, do you believe in an open relationship? I said, I didn't have one with the 35 years I was with my lady. And if I did have one, my children wouldn't be speaking with me today. All right? So I want you to think with me, because what we're doing is we're thinking about where did all this come from? Where did it all come from? What happened? How can the bishop of the church end up owning the building after the people paid millions upon millions of dollars? Huh? Romans chapter 13, verse 13. This is interesting. We're still talking about the same thing. Look what it says. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day. You know, people call themselves Christians, but they never preach from the Bible. Have you ever seen a preacher get up and he quotes one verse, and then for the next 28 minutes he's talking about the zoo, blimps, the LA Rams, the Chargers, Mitt Romney, Republican Party, liberalism versus conservatism? Has nothing to do with what God has said. Look what it says. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day. In other words, you want God to see how you're living. You want God to respond to how you're living, not in reviling and drunkenness. I didn't say that you can't have a drink, but reviling me, you get so drunk you start to fight and cuss, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. I knew preachers over the years that were literally jealous. Man, if you can get that, and I don't know why anybody would be jealous of anything that God has built up in his children. I don't know why anyone would be jealous of that. I've never been, you know, I've never pastored the larger churches in my life. I've walked in them, I've been around them, but no. Now, Peter, you know who he is, right? The one that was in, the one that said to Jesus, though all men forsake you and turn against you, I'll never do that. That's what Peter said. I'll never do it. And the writ told me that Jesus looked at him and said, the rooster gonna crow three times and you gonna cuss me out, boy. You need to stop. And a lot of people are like that. Oh, John Coleman, you ain't gonna never have nothing. You still doing that? I just saw on the internet that one of my favorite gospel singers, Richard Smallwood, suffered from severe depression, and out of his own mouth, he said he was going to see a therapist, and he wrote him a book about his depression. Now, listen to me. I don't know about Richard's heart. I don't know where his heart, where his mind is. But if you had severe depression and you're doing all them stand-up concerts singing about Jesus, didn't he write some beautiful songs? He's 75, a couple of years younger than me. Severe depression. And he wrote a book. I don't know how much money you can make from, but that's why I'm not writing one. I have my website up. Somebody want to know about what I'm thinking, you can go to it. I got the date on that sucker. You know exactly what I'm thinking on that day. I'm not depressed. But I owe young black men and women in my environment an explanation why I sound so negative about Christianity. It was a hoax. Shameless greediness has taken over the church. One man had put it this way. He does not become ageless until he shocks public decency. And see, that's what these pastors have done, to my mind. They have shocked public decency. Now, I'm not talking about who they marry, because I believe now, and you may not agree with this, but I believe you can marry whoever you want to marry. And I don't believe now, I used to believe this when I first joined the church, because I was told that once you marry a person, you're trapped, and you're trapped with that person for the rest of your life. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that if you marry someone and that person turns out to be ridiculous, driving you up the walls, making you go, leave that fool. Flavius Josephus, the famous Hebrew and history recorder, writes about this greed, and he says the word is equated with madness. He sees it as the sin of Jezebel. If you read the writings of Josephus in section 8.13.1, this is what he says. Conscience is strangled and shame is put to flight. He was speaking about Jezebel. Because, you know, Jezebel was married to King Ahab. And if my memory serves me correctly, King Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyards. You see, that's greed. And Naboth told the king, no, you can't have this. This was a family heirloom handed down, and I'm going to hand it down to my children. You can't have it. King Ahab went to the palace, just like a lot of men today, crying to his wife. I asked him to sell the vineyard, and he wouldn't sell me the vineyard. Jezebel, that wench, you know, she said, oh, lie down, big boy, and take it easy. I get you that, and I get it for you, and I ain't going to pay a dime for it. See, that's why Josephus wrote about that. And man, she had Naboth hung up, strung up, killed his children, shamed his family name. Conscience is strangled and shame is put to flight. Man, when I see what these preachers did with black people's money, and if we had kept all of that money that we made and invested it in ourselves and our family. Shameless. That's what greed would do. What does this kind of greed lead to? Well, of course, it leads to extortion. Oh, I used to love to talk about that on the radio when I was on the radio. And I'm telling you, people that still listen to me on my website here, they heard me when I was on the radio. And when they, you know, let me see if John has switched. I haven't switched up, man. I'm thinking, I can see clearly now the sin is gone. The sin of listening to somebody trying to tell me what God said and intended, and he never said it and intended it. And another thing, one day I'm going to do a study on how the church treats LGBT people. My God. My God. But I'll handle that another time. Let us look at the history of a people who started out saying that they love the Lord their God with all of their hearts and their minds. That's what the Hebrew people said. But greed and extortion and other forms of vice in their community exacted more from the people of God than they had the right to take from them in the first place. And that was done because of pride and presumptuousness. And these preachers, when they see one preacher tore down his little storefront church and built a big church, well, now, I got the big papa church. I got all the members. You better keep all them people out that room. COVID is still out there. Don't you got, hey, the fellowship I was in on Sunday, I had my mask and other people had theirs on too. Don't you be no fool and think that God is going to wipe all this stuff out. What man has created is evil. And this plague that's killing these people is evil. And if you want to put your money in something, put it in medicine. Anyhow, the shepherds in the Old Testament, as well as the shepherds in this current age that we're living in, they had dishonestly acquired these monies from the people that had been placed under their care for the purpose of spiritual nurture and development. They had ultimately prospered from their greed. Therefore, extortion had become a way of life. That's why the preacher or the pastor or the ministry has to keep extorting money. Have you noticed that every year, every new year, and they're going to come up with it the latter part of December and January, this is the new vision for the year, right? Every year you got a new vision. Thirdly, let me ask this. Does this kind of greed through extortion ever satisfy? Does it satisfy the appetite? Well, the answer is no. Keep in your mind that some would say, sure, preacher, satisfied. You get your Bentley, you get your house in Bel Air. You send your kid to Princeton. I was talking with a friend of mine, and he really is a friend of mine, and he was sharing with me something about someone in his family that was quite noteworthy. And I said, I'm sorry, but I don't feel about your family member the way you do. Number one, I didn't know them, and I said, all bureaucrats are like that. And he didn't know what a bureaucrat was. I said, look up the definition. I'm not impressed. I said, because most people, when they get, all right, you wanna hear it? You wanna hear it, don't you? Mark Ridley Thomas, right? What's that? Greed through extortion never satisfies. Never. And he was a preacher here in L.A. Look at him now. Don't nobody want to talk about that. Still going on. He practiced it in his religion. And then when it got over into, yes. Now, this kind of person also brings trouble to his own house. Yes, he does. Go to Proverbs chapter, I think that's Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. I want to make sure I got that right, because I don't want to teach you wrong. Proverbs. Well, go to it on your own. I'm running out of time, and all of my studies are huge like this in terms of time. I just hope that you appreciate listening to what I'm saying, and to get the point, hold on to your ducats. You know what I mean? Verse 27 says, "He who is greedy for unjust gain makes trouble for his household. But he who hates bribes will live." Well, that's exactly what they got Mark Ridley Thomas on, bribing. Even, you know, bribing, wanted his son to get, you know, he wanted his son to be a professor at SC, and he hadn't even taken none of the classes. Must I read it again? "He who is greedy for unjust gain," Mark Ridley Thomas, "makes trouble for his household. His son, his wife, all his friends, all of them know about this mess." Oh, I'm just a preacher for the Most High. I've always been that. How does the Bible describe these kinds of people that display this appalling demeanor? You may find this very strange, but God calls it like it is. Now, I know that you think that I'm wrong, and I know that a lot of you will not believe me. I am asking you to get a pen and to mark this scripture down, because I remember when I was on the radio and I told, I think that, let me see. Let me check this verse again and see that I'm right. Yes, I'm right. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11. And I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention now. Listen to what it says. This is in your Bible. And he's talking about preachers, so-called holy men, that steal your money to get over on you. I didn't say preachers that take up an offering, because I believe in putting money in the offering plate. Look what it says. "The dogs have a mighty appetite. They never have enough. The shepherds also have no understanding. They have all turned to their own way, each to his own gain, one and all," quote, unquote. Isaiah chapter 56, verse 11. God calls these kind of people greedy dogs. "We should therefore suppose that God is not very happy with those who manifest this type of activity, especially within religious institutions." The question is, my friend, how do you feel about this kind of behavior in your face? See, you got to answer that for yourself. That's why I have stopped going and hanging with people like that. I tell very dear friends of mine that are still pastors, make sure, especially the ones that took homiletics with me. I tell them, make sure now you're doing this thing right. Is there another explanation for what greed is? Yeah, I think so. It's idolatry. You know what idolatry is. When you, the Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before you." And I like the Muslims for that too, because, They said, Allah, he is God. Well, that's the same God I worship. I worship the same God they worship. And I'm sure that some of their clerics have crooks in there too, because money is idolatry. If at any time anything or anyone is set before that which is God's purpose, the very thing has become your God. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, he told them not to make gods and graven images and things like that. God was trying to let his people know that he is a spirit, and the spirit wanted to work in the hearts of men, and they wanted the men to oblige by his spirit in a proper way. Have you placed anything above the will of God in your life? Is there anything that can come between you and God and his divine will for your life? Has there been a time when you were tempted to allow this very thing that I'm discussing with you now on this webcast to inflict damage to your human experience? I think that's a good question. Also, can this greedy extortion become dangerous? What you think? What? Can it become dangerous, man? Just, oh my God. Look at the judges today that we have. We've been listening at the news and seeing what's happening and what are the courts saying and people taking kickbacks and everything else. You know, there's no more justice. No justice, no peace. Well, I know this is a serious talk that I'm having with you, but I'm doing it because I've been accused of slacking up. They've accused me of all persons, on slacking up. You know, I was supposed to be somewhere tonight. As a matter of fact, the meeting started about 9 minutes ago, and they're serving Thanksgiving meal and everything there. But I had to deny myself that to do this because I've been busy all day. But let me read this verse to you, Psalms chapter 17, verse 12. Are you copying these verses down? Well, that's all right. You can come back to my website and re-listen to it. It says, they are like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. This is what these preachers are trying to do with your money and with your life. I'm talking about these big mega churches when you just come and put, you know, you can look at that thing that Osteen got going down there in Texas. All them people sitting up in there like they looking at a basketball game. And he come out with that grin on his face, talking that stuff, and not quoting scripture, because he was a communication specialist. He darn sure wasn't an exegete. I know that to be a fact. What is an exegete? One that's doing what I'm doing, telling you what the word means and explaining it to you in the language that you can comprehend, giving you an opportunity to oblige yourself. Now, we know who these people are today. We know who they are. And if you have the time, you need to look into the face of some of these men that do that and give them a real stare and then give your earned bread away. They had one, I wonder if he's still doing it. People throwing money on the carpet of the church, and he's stepping all on it and just taking their money. Ideas are set and fixed, and black people seem to be into the maze. I haven't watched TBN in a long time. But they were masters in that. Just masters in deception doing that. And entertainment on a large scale. See, you can go into church, and if entertainment coerces you, don't pull out a one, pull out 100. I tell you, I went to the church that I visited, and I looked around and saw the people in the church, young people, older people, and I saw the young pastor struggling. He told the truth. He told the truth. I opened up my wallet, the smallest bill that I had in there, I gave it. It wasn't a 10, it wasn't a 20. You figure it out. And I haven't given money in church since 2012. Because I'm looking in some faces. And you know, a lot of people don't like what I said and how I put it. That's it. I just thought that I'd share that as we come out of COVID, and if you can call it coming out of COVID, and if you're going to be in church again, my recommendation is that you study your Bible at home. If you're not sure about the safety of being around a lot of people, but use your heads. That's like sending your child to school and the teacher's trying to tell your child something that is basically suicidal and your child believes it. You know, you have to come to a point where you know what's right for you. Thank you so much for coming to my website. This is PJ, your internet pastor, Pastor John Coleman. Tell your friends about this. And for you naysayers that think that I've wigged out and lost my mind, no, I'm still, hey, what that song say? I let nothing separate me from the love of God. Nothing will separate me from knowing that God speaks to greed, avarice, and greedy people, extortioners in the church, taking your hard-earned cash to heap it upon themselves. God bless you. Stay in the Word of God. I'll talk to you next time.